In our last session, we spoke about the disciples' desire to learn how to pray effectively. And I have to emphasize, they knew how to pray. They knew how to maybe even kneel and pray. They knew Jewish prayers. They knew the words. But when they observed Jesus to pray, observed Jesus praying, they had this deep desire, help me to learn to pray like that. Because they saw real prayer. Something that was different from theirs. Something that was so special. And yet so simple. It was so practical, but very intimate. The words of the Lord's Prayer can easily fall from our lips, and I hope that by the end of this series, we will all have memorized it. I have made it a point to memorize it in both languages, in German and in English. You know how to memorize it? The easiest way is to pray it quite often. But to really mean it when you pray it. The opening words of the Lord's Prayer lead us straight to the faith that Jesus had and demonstrated. He said, "Our Father." And it speaks of a personal relationship with God. What is the meaning of the words, "Our Father who art in heaven"? A small child came home from Sunday school and says, "I know God's name. His name is Art." And people, his family says, "How do you know that? Who told you that?" "Well, our Father who art in heaven. His name is Art." A child can understand it often differently than we do. But it's not so hard to understand the Lord's Prayer because it begins with an idea that Jesus wants to establish the fact here that God is our Heavenly Father. And if He is your and my Heavenly Father, then we, you and I, are His children. I don't know about you, but I think that's big. That's really big. Why does Jesus describe God as a father figure? Why doesn't He teach us to pray and say, "Almighty God, creator of the universe," kind of like it was in the Old Testament? He changed something here. He didn't address God here in the model prayer as creator or as mighty God, as the thundering God who can do all things. Not even the name Yahweh, who is the mighty God, is used, but the expression of Father. Interesting how Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," and then He says, if you want to follow Me, and if you don't deny or hate your father and your mother and your brothers and sisters, you are not worthy of My discipleship. Now, anyone today, a religious leader today, demanding that would be considered a cult leader. Why did Jesus say that? He says, when you follow Me, you will learn about God that you cannot learn from your parents, that you cannot even imagine any one of your parents, your earthly father, to be. If you had a really good father and a really good mother, he says, just focus on God and you will really experience what kind of a father God really is. And if you had a bad father, forget about that. Just focus on God, focus on me, and you will experience something you never thought possible. I believe that when Jesus says, follow me and forget about your father and your mother, in many respects, he didn't want our past relationships to determine our relationship or even limit our relationship with the Heavenly Father. He didn't mean that we literally need to hate our father and mother. He just meant that our authority and our wisdom comes from the Heavenly Father, that we need to be so focused on the spiritual, on Him and the Father, that we learn forever the kindness, the character, the love, and the nature of the Father. That goes beyond the natural. It's an idea of parenthood, if you will. The father figure, the ultimate father figure, is presented to us. You see, the roles of mothers and fathers are often exchanged, and they have changed in recent decades too. I mean, it used to be where the mother would be home. She was the nurturing part of the parent. She would make sure that the household went well, and now both have to work. They bring the children to daycares, and it's totally different in our society today. And as the earth gives birth to life in general, our mothers have given birth to us, and they have nurtured us, they have raised us, they have helped us to become what we are today. But when we talk about the difference between a mother's love and a father's love, we have the concept here of a fatherly love. I wonder oftentimes, why not motherly? Now, there are those that say that, especially they want to be politically correct, they have Bibles now where God is a she, and they believe that they can relate better if they have this concept that God is a she. And other ideas that they have, they want to change the concept and so that they would understand God somehow better or in a different way. And then there's this Mary worship where the mother of Jesus is supposed to intercede for us because she has this motherly heart, this nurturing heart. All of that is not in the Lord's Prayer, but it is the Father's love. The Father has a different approach. The mother can easily be this figure, this unconditional love, this encouraging, nurturing, and even when a lot of mothers are like this, if the children leave home and their rooms stay empty, and they make sure that if the world is mean to them, that they can come back to their rooms. But the father figure is a lot tougher. The father wants to get the son or daughter to be on their own feet, to become independent. The father's hand basically works towards pushing the children out the door because they need to start their own families. And oftentimes we children, we have gone unwillingly. We don't want to leave the warm nest that we had when we grew up. We want to stay happy and play indoors. And a lot of adult children, they'd rather play video games than do anything else. But the father figure challenges us. Make daring steps. Take a risk. Go do something. Be involved. So when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, we have to remember of all the blessings he bestows on us, and we will see that in a little bit, what blessings we have because of his fatherhood. But he also has expectations. Yes, he does. Now, the intimate word for father is in the Aramaic language called Abba. Abba is what we know in the English language as daddy. Now, we, especially as conservative Christians, if you will, we feel that is disrespectful to God to address him as daddy. You know, that's kind of lowering. Wouldn't you feel that way? I mean, our Father who is in heaven. Another thing that's obvious here is that Jesus does not say you have to individually pray, my Father in heaven. Now, we can call him my Abba, but he teaches our Father, which includes like a group prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, our Daddy. And it, Daddy, conveys a sense of intimacy that only children understand. Because not everybody in this world is actually a child of God. I know there's a general view that all people are children of God. Yeah, the human race came from God. God created the human race. That's true. But as was shown in the video, God asked a question. The Father asked a question. I am always Father, but will you be my child? And I think Jesus wanted to teach his disciples as his children, as believers in him and in the plan of salvation, we shall boldly come before the Lord in intimate prayer and say, our Father who art in heaven. Al Wynn tells a story from ancient Rome that illustrates what Abba, Father, really means. The Roman emperor had a procession and was entering Rome when a young child darted in front of the approaching chariot. A member of the Praetorian Guard scooped up the boy and scolding the boy and says, that is the emperor. And the boy says, your emperor, but he is my father. Totally different. For the world, God is the emperor. God is the creator and the ruler of all things. And he can destroy people in a moment. He can destroy nature. He can destroy this earth in a moment. But those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, there's this special relationship. And the Father said, hold it, hold it. I have time for my son or my daughter. I have time for my child. Yes, God is the immortal and invisible, the only wise God and the almighty creator. But God is also a very and most personal God. He has a very personal interest in all of us. And he wants to wrap his arms around us, to love and to cherish us, to stand with us, as only a parent can do for a child. And to pray to God as our Father is to be reminded that the heart of faith The heart of faith is in our relationship with the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. I want you to think about that for a moment. No, he is in heaven. He occupies the whole vast universe and heaven, way beyond that. And the angels worship him every day, and the cherubim, they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is full of his glory." And the seraphim shout, and yes, this is why we will see that his will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is done in heaven. But here, when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we kind of ask God to transcend from heaven to us on this earth. To let heavenly air blow through our souls, into our souls. It's almost like a transcendence. And the glory of God is enjoyed forever by those who believe and who have this worshipful attitude, "Our Father who art in heaven." Our God is a loving parent. And a loving parent, as I said before, has expectations. God is holy, and we cannot find communion with God as long as we reject God's holiness and our holy calling. That is the truth. And no imagination, no image, or no message about the Father being great and gracious to us will help us if we don't freely embrace all that he has for us, all that he has accomplished through Jesus Christ for our salvation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, we read, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, 'Abba, Father.' It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We ask ourselves, how do I know that God is my Father? How do I know that I'm intimate with the Father? We only know that through the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that needs to be in us, because he witnesses to our spirit that we are children of God. And if every day you are reminded, the Holy Spirit gives you this assurance, yes, you are a child of God today as you were yesterday. And yes, you are going through some hard times. And yes, you doubt some things. And yes, right now you're wrestling with some issues. But remember, you are a child of God. And this constant awareness of being a child of God that causes us, as Paul says here, to cry out, "Abba, Father," helps us to live God-pleasing lives. So God is our Father because we have submitted to his authority. A father is a figure of authority. When Job was suffering so hard and so intensely, and he cried out in self-justification and said repeatedly that God had treated him and God was treating him unfairly, he couldn't understand why all of this happened to him. And when God appeared, after all this discussion and all this suffering, all the pain, you know, you would think that Job was this one tired, bitter man that wanted nothing else but to die. when God appeared. He didn't explain anything to God, but he challenged Job. He said, "Do you know me?" And he asked him a lot of questions. God asking Job, his child, whom he loved, a lot of questions. He said, "Where were you when I created all these things? No, did you make the eagle fly? Did you cause the Leviathan, this big sea monster, to do its thing?" I would say that must have been Moby Dick. But anyway, did you cause all this? And I tell you, when Job discovered the heart of God, that's all he needed to know. And many times we don't need to know all the details. We don't know. God doesn't owe us any explanation. But when he reveals our heart, his heart to us, guess what? We don't need any more answers. Because our Father is the answer. God provided his provision as a father. We see that in the people of Israel in the desert when they were fed through the by manna. He literally gave them bread. And the Bible at one point says that they ate bread of angels. So the angels were very busy baking bread for Israel. That's in human terms. He is not a God that says, "How will I provide for my family? How will I provide for my church?" Oh my goodness, you know, oftentimes, and I know we would do that, and we feel, as pastors, we feel, "Oh my God, my, you know, what is happening to the church nowadays? What is happening to Christianity? What is happening in our world today? And how can the church survive?" The church can survive when they have this intimacy with the Father. The Lord knows that. You know, we may do this off and on, and God has everything in place already. And I've used this illustration before, and I feel like right now I should say it again. Some of you have not heard me say that. You may have heard it from others, but there's this terrible accident that happened, and someone who had CPR qualification, who had learned CPR, he pushed people aside and went to the accident scene to this person that was laying on the ground there, and there was one guy just over this person. He pushed that person aside and says, "I know CPR and I know what to do," and he was probably one of those Barney Fife people. And anyway, he worked on this person, and finally there was a tap on his shoulder from the person he had pushed aside. He said, "When the time comes to call the doctor," he said, "I'm right here." And oftentimes I feel like that with the Lord. When the time comes, you really need help. You really need the right help. Right? The Father says, "I'm here. I will provide." Think about this. The Father will provide. And we will talk about that later when we talk about our daily bread. And then there is this unspeakable love that God has. The prophet Hosea, and I encourage you to read that book, the prophet Hosea, he was told by God to marry a very loose woman called Gomer. She was very unfaithful. And she ran from him, and he got herself in danger, and he sold herself into slavery and all of that stuff. And the prophet Hosea always had to go and rescue her and always go and help her and show that he loved her. And God compares that between him and Israel. The Apostle Paul says, he later writes, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love isn't over. Oh no. If you are thinking of giving up, I tell you, don't, because God's love isn't over. It's still very strong. In fact, it's as strong as it ever was. His love for us is so great, even today, as great as it was when Jesus died on the cross. It's still there. His love was always, will always be there for all eternity. So J.I. Packer says in his writing, Knowing God, what is a Christian? And he says, the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. If you want to know how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he or she makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his or her father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls our worship and our prayers and our whole outlook on life, it means that we do not understand Christianity very well at all. Here lies the secret, I believe, and I agree with him, in understanding true Christianity. By calling himself our Father, God is inviting us to a family relationship. We're invited to be God's children, and God offers us to be our parent. And the emphasis is that we develop and we nurture close family bonds as God our Father. We then are knit together, as Paul expresses it, as one body of believers in Jesus Christ. Think about this a lot more. There's so much more to be learned. I have to skip a few things because of time restraints, but we want to worship the Lord this week and just thank God that he is our Father. And if he is your personal Father, know that he understands you better than you understand yourself, and he will provide, he will protect, and he will love. That is assured by us in God's word. Amen.